Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the third of four. This is our last class on Yirmiyahu, the Sefer itself. And next class we'll do selections from Megillat Eicha. I've given a class before on why Yirmiyahu of all people wrote Eicha, like why it was so appropriate for him to write it, other than of course that he lived at the time, but there's like personality stuff also, so maybe we'll do some of that. And yeah, so today we're doing the second Haftarah of the three Haftarot, the Gimel Zippur Anuta, the three that are before Tisha B'Av. And the second Haftarah is Perek Bet, the vast majority of Perek Bet of Yirmiyahu. So if you'll open your Tanachim, please. Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, Pasuk Dalet. And I'm going to start the way we did last time, which is reading the Perek through. And there are a few things that I want you to pay attention to. First of all, we're going to spend some time this morning talking about literary devices. A little bit, because like I said, the first class, this is pretty much advanced poetry in a foreign language. So, you know, it's appropriate to discuss poetic terms and poetic usage and stuff like that here. In addition, as part of that rather, I want to introduce before we start a concept of something called a Mila Mancha. For those who are familiar with it. If you're not familiar with the concept of the Mila Mancha, it's a word that appears many more times than you would expect in that group of psukim. So in other words, if you have a word that appears six times in two psukim, the same word, that's something that says, like, whoa, pay attention to me, I'm here for a reason. So as I'm reading it through, see if you notice any Mila Manchot. Also, if you notice... there are some rhetorical questions that come up here and all those kinds of things. So we'll go through in Perek Bet. We're starting from Pasuk Dalet, because the first three Pesukim are part of the Haftarah, the first Haftarah. Shim'u Dibar Hashem Beit Yaakov, V'chol Mishpachot Beit Yisrael. Kor Amar Hashem, Ma Matzu Avotechem Bi'avel, Ki Rachaku Me'alai, V'yelchu Acharei Ha'avel, V'yabalu. V'lo Amru, Ayei Hashem, Ha'me'ala Otanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Ha'me'alichu Otanu Me'inbar, Be'eretz Ha'arva V'shucha, Be'eretz Siyah V'samavet, Be'eretz Lo'avar Ba'ish, V'lo Yishav Adam Sham. V'avi Etchem El Eretz HaKarmel, L'chol Perya, V'tuva, V'tavo V'titam'u Et Artzi, V'nachlati Samtam L'Zoriva. Ha'kohanim Lo Amru, Ayei Hashem, V'tavsei Atama Lo Yida'uni, V'haro'im Pashubi, V'anavim Nibu V'ba'al, V'acharei Lo Yo'ilu Halacho. Lachain od ariv itchem neum Hashem, ve'apnei b'neichem ariv. Ki ibru iye kitiyim uru'u, ve'kedash shalchu v'hitbonenu ma'od, uru'u, hein hayta kazot? Ha'hemir goy Elohim, ve'hem alo Elohim, ve'ami hemir kvodi b'lo yo'il. Shomu shamayim alzot, v'sa'aru charvu ma'od neum Hashem. Ki shtayim ra'ot asa'ami, oti azvu, makor mayim chayim, lachtov lahem borot, Barot nishparim, asher lo yachilu amayim. Ha'eved Yisrael, im yalid bayitu, madua haya lamaz. Alav yishaguch virim, natanu kolam, ve'yashitu arto l'shama, arav nitztu mibli yoshev. Gam b'nei nof, v'tach panches, yaruch kadkod. Halo zot ha'asalach, azvechet Hashem alokayach, ve'it molichech badarach. Ve'ata malach l'darach mitzrayim lishtot me shichor, u'malach l'darach ashor lishtot me nahar, תיאסריך רעתך ומשובתך תוכיחך, ודאי וראי כי רב אמר עזבך את השם אלוקייך, ולא פחדתי עלייך, נום השם אלוקים צבקות. כי מעולם שיברתי אולך, ניתקתי מוסרותייך, ותאמרי לא אעבוד, כי על כל גבעה גבוהה ותחת כל עץ רענן, עד צועה זונה, ואנוכי נתתיך שורק, כולו זרע אמת, ואיך נפח לי שורי הגפן נוכריה? כי אם תחפשי בנתר ותביא לך בורית, נחתם עוונך לפני נאום השם אלוקים. איך תאמרי, לא נטמאתי, אחרי הבעלים לא הלכתי, ראי דרכך בגיא, דעי מה עשית, בכרה קלה מצרכת דרכה. פרא לימוד מבר, באהבת נפשה שאהבת רוח, שאפה רוח טענתה מישיבנה. כל מבקשה לא יעפו, בחדשה ימצא נוח. מנעי רגלך מאחף, וגרונך מצימה, ותאמרי, נואש, לא. כי אהבתי זרים, ואחריהם אלך. כבושת גנב כי ימצא כן הובישו בית ישראל. הם המלכיהם, שריהם, וכהניהם, ונביאיהם. אומרים לעץ, אבי אתה, ולאבן, את ילדתני. כי פנו אלי עורף ולא פנים, ובעת רעתם יאמרו, קומה והושיענו. ויהי אלוהיך אשר עשית לך, יקומו עם יושיעוך בעת רעתך. כי מספר עריך היו אלוהיך יהודה. What's the theme? Just, I know that there are a lot of words that you might not have gotten, especially like the whole tiasrich ve'atzeich mushubatzeich tochicheich. You know, there's some hard words in there.
Maybe threw us in the way, the true, the real deal.
Right, so there are two elements here. When I gave this as a model lesson once to high school, and I started with I presented a scenario to them. You've been going with Johnny since you were in seventh grade. It was a modern Orthodox mixed school, but it was an only girls class. I said, and you were planning this big anniversary celebration, and you were supposed to meet on the quad or whatever, you know, with your lunch. And you're sitting there waiting for him, and you see him come out of the school building talking intimately with another girl, and not just another girl, like a stupid girl, you know, like an airhead. And you're sitting there, and you're planning for this anniversary celebration, and he's coming out, and like, how do you feel? Write him a letter. You know, and then they wrote the letter, and we found that all the elements of their Dear John letter, Lahavdil Aleph Havdalos, are here in our parak also. It wasn't just that you left me. So you left me for her? You know, you hear that very much with Hashem, with the Hevel. Like, you left me, he says in Pasuka, where's the Shtayim Ra'ot? In Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki Shtayim Ra'ot Asami. He says it's a twofold evil that my people, Ami. That part, he doesn't even specify the Ami part. You know, that's one of the part of the Ra'ah, but that's understood and it's underlying. It's Ami. It's my nation. It's my nation that I cultivated, that I chose, that I gave this special, amazing gift of having a relationship that nobody else can have with me. You know, the Ami aspect. The Sefer HaChinuch says on benching, he talks about why did Hashem create the world? So the reason Hashem created, are you familiar with this? The Sefer HaChinuch on... He says the reason Hashem created the world is because it was the most selfless act that he could have done. It was the highest element of Tov that Hashem could have done. Because what is Tov? Who is the source of all Tov? It's Hashem. Which means that for anyone else to be able to appreciate that Tov and to benefit from that Tov, they have to have a relationship with the Tov, which is Hashem. The only way we can have a relationship with Hashem is if He creates us. So He created us so that we could have a relationship with Him. That's why He created us. And then He chose us as His nation to give us our Torah. And we are Ami. And what did we do? Pasuk Yud Gimel, He says, Shtayim Ra'ot Asami, Oti Azvu, they left me. Who am I? Mekor Mayim Chayim, the living, flowing source of water. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lachtov Lahem Barot. Why? To dig for themselves, to carve out for themselves wells. Like, would you rather have the spring or a well that you have, you know, like the natural water source, or like to have to find the water system? Not only that, but like they're broken wells that you're looking for, and that the water can't contain the water. Like, you hear that, not just that they left me, but that's what they left me for. For garbage, for nothing, for emptiness.
It's opposite of Sunra of Asay Tov.
Exactly.
They left the Tov and they went after the Ra.
Right, the Dafka. What else do you see? What other elements are in the Tarek that you were able to glean? Let's go through it and see what we can come out with. And for this, I'm going to, if you have a Mikro Gedolot that you haven't been using until now, you are invited to open it, because we'll be using some of the Parshanim in it. And I'm going to also hand out to you, I find that this helps me in Nevi'im Achronim. I'm a very visual learner. So what I did with the Navi here, I'll pass it around and you'll see. I divided the psukim up. I wrote it as a poem, basically, the way it was written, the way it was meant to be read. I'll explain to you just the punctuation, because it's very technical. There's a lot of thought went into it. The end of every pasuk has a colon. The etnachta, which looks like the wishbone in the bottom of the, in the middle of the pasuk, that functions like a semicolon. I don't know what the... English equivalent. I only know the American terms. I don't know the semicolon also. Okay. So the etnachta, which you'll see in, for instance, let's use Pasuk Hay as an example. The etnachta is under the word me'alai. Ko amar Hashem, ma'amatsu avotechem bi'adel, ki rachaku me'alai. That little wishbone thing under the alai is the etnachta. That's a hard break in the Pasuk. It functions as a semicolon. And then I took it a step further, the zakef katan. I don't know anything about leaning except this. The zakev katan is above the word avel in that in our pasuk in pasuk hey, and the zakev katan functions like a comma. Okay, but here's what I did on our paper. I went to the next line, like I broke it up into units by etnachta and zakev katan. If there was an etnachta, I put a comma. If there's a zakev katan, I put nothing. The other punctuation parts are for punctuation purposes, not just to indicate where the pasuk is divided up. I mean, which is also there for punctuation purposes, obviously. But, okay. Everyone have? Okay. So let's start from the beginning. Shim'u devar Hashem Beit Yaakov, v'chol mishpachot Beit Yisrael. You see how I moved it over a little bit, the second line, v'chol mishpachot Beit Yisrael, because this is a literary function that's used, we say it every morning, matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkanotecha Yisrael, it's the same kind of function, that the beginning of your sentence, your description in the beginning of the sentence, or your command in the beginning of the sentence, is applying to all of the nouns that are coming after it. So Matovu Ohalach Yaakov, Matovu Mishkanotach Israel. Here we have Shemud Vashem Be Yaakov, Shemud Vashem Kol Mishpachot Be Israel. That he wants both Be Yaakov and Kol Mishpachot Be Israel. What do you think would be? Why would it say both of them? Be Yaakov Be Israel.
Yaakov refers to the woman.
There's a midrash that says that. That says Be Yaakov is the woman and Be Israel are the men. What else?
Usually Yaakov is the lower level of people, and Israel is more of a glorious name.
Okay.
Different machiyot.
A different machiyot, perhaps. Good. Or the option that Radak often employs, what he calls kifel hanyan b'milim shanot, poetic license. Just kind of written like that for beauty, for emphasis, for, you know, the same thing. What?
There's never enough.
There's never enough for you? Oh, I love it. I love it. Now is that, like, it's, you know, it gives a certain personality to the text. That it's like, because of course they didn't just choose these words, but there's a certain poeticness to it. It's a certain, like, to me it gives a certain tone to your learning of, like, relax. You know, like, enjoy it, live it. It's, you know,
I mean, if this is Tochacha that we're learning right now, so it could be also, he's upset, Hashem is upset, so I just thought of this, if you're upset at someone, if you say to him, Donnie,
you
just want to listen.
Right. Or,
talking to you.
Right. Or to take it to the next level. Also, you know, as parents, whenever you call your kids by their full name, right, by every name they're known as, then then you know that you're really in trouble, right? So that's good. But it's okay. Ko amar Hashem. This is what Hashem is saying. And so we have Yirmiyahu is transmitting Hashem's message to Bnei Israel. He starts off with the following question: Ma matzu avotechem bi avel ki rachaku me'alai? What hardship? What evil? What bad thing did I do by your ancestors? Ki rachaku me'alai? That because of that they're distancing from me. V'yolchu acharei ha'hevel v'yahabalu, and they're going after nothingness and letting themselves be consumed by this nothingness. Who is he talking to here? Who's subject object? Who's the person he's talking to?
You're
talking about. Who's he talking about? Who's the subject, I guess? Avotechem. He's asking. He says, "Mama tu avotechem bi avel." He's asking them, "What did they?" In other words, he's not addressing an evil that the Bnei Israel are doing right now.
But
this is something that's been going on for quite a while. Something that struck me when I read this pasuk is the sound, the similar sounds between avel and hevel.
Mm.
how he's starting off already with this poetic, the sounds of it. So he says, he already starts back with the Avot Techet, Mabriyut. Why did your Avot leave me? Avot, obviously we're not going as far back as Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because it wouldn't apply. They were not Rachaku Me Hashem. But it's sometime in the past that he's talking about, and Pasuk Vav gives us a little bit of a hint. Velo Amru, they didn't say, meaning your Avot, your ancestors did not say, Ayei Hashem Hame'alo Tanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Where is the Hashem? In other words, they weren't Doreshet Hashem. They didn't seek Him out. They didn't look for Him and say, where is the Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim? Hamolichu Tanu Bamidbar, who led us through the Midbar, Be'eretz Arava V'shucha, in a land of Arava is the plains, and Shucha also is flat lands. Be'eretz Tzia V'talmavet, in the dark, dry land. Be'eretz lo avar ba'ish, in the land that no man had passed through, and even more so, v'lo yashav adam sham, so even more so, nobody even lived there. You know, this land that Hashem pulled us through. And Hashem says, that's the end of their quote of what he wishes B'nai Yisrael would have said that they didn't, and his response to that is, v'avi etchem el eretz ha-karmel, le'achol peryah v'tuva, and I brought you to the eretz ha-karmel, not necessarily referring to the area of the Carmel and then semi-northern part of Israel, but Carmel from the word Kerem, from the, you know, a land of vineyards, to juxtapose with the desolation of the Midbar, to do what? Le'achol peryah v'tuva, to eat from her fruits and to eat from her goodness. And what did you do? V'tavo'u v'titamu et artzi. Notice in these two psukim, Vav and Zion, what Mila Mancha do you find here?
Eretz.
Yeah. It shows up six times. Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Arava V'shucha, Eretz Tzia V'talmavet, Eretz Lo Avar Ba'ish V'lo Yishav Shem Adam, Eretz HaKarmel, V'tavo V'titamu Et Artzi. The climax at the end is the Artzi. The word Eretz being used to juxtapose Eretz Mitzrayim with Eretz HaMidbar and Eretz Yisrael, showing you the nisim that Hashem brought you through, and how, you know, going up in levels, even though the Midbar was in fertility terms on a lower level than Mitzrayim, but you were on your way to Eretz Yisrael, like, so you're sort of going up in level, spiritually at least. Also the descriptions of the Midbar, there are six descriptions of the Midbar. Other than six times of Eretz, you also have six descriptions of the Midbar. You have Arava, Shucha, Tzia, Tzalmavet, Lo Avar Ba'ish, Lo Yashav Adam Sham. You have six descriptions of the Midbar, emphasizing and focusing on even more the Nisim and the miracles that Hashem, the greatness of the miracle that Hashem took us out, not just took us out of Mitzrayim, which we all understand that miracle, he spends, you know, two words on that. But then the miracle that he took us through the Midbar, that we survived the Midbar, and he brought us into Eretz Yisrael, and then what did we do? Atavo v'titamu et artzi. And the whole point of this is that the Eretz.
Sure. He says he's complaining about the Avo, then he says, but they didn't say this.
Right. It's exactly what he's saying. He said, they weren't saying, where is Hashem? In other words, they didn't even try. They didn't even seek Hashem out. They weren't dominating.
I said the opposite. The low room means that's something good. They didn't say, where's Hashem? So they didn't say, where's Hashem? In other words, they said the right thing. They didn't request, they didn't say, where's Hashem?
Right, except in the context.
The low room, doesn't say,
right, except that in the context, like if when you go to Pasuk Zion, where it says that he brought them to Eretz Yisrael, like, in context, it's not a good thing that they didn't say Ayei Hashem. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying.
But it says they didn't say it.
Right, you have to look at it in the context of the pasuk.
I know, but I thought...
In the context of the psukim, the reason the text demands that we look at it in context, because of the use of the word Eretz also links psukim Vav and Zion, to give you an understanding of how you should understand Vav. Vav is ambiguous. It could be something good or it could be something not good. It could be good that they're not saying, where is God now? Or it could be not good that they're not davening. They're not seeking him out. They're not trying at anything.
Right. They didn't seek Hashem.
Exactly. So the word Eretz. Exactly, but the word Eretz, the fact that it shows through both Psukim and Pasuk Zayin is so obviously bad that they're doing. So it shows you how to read Pasuk Vav. Isn't that cool? Like the whole literary...
Gives you the perspective.
It's cool. Right. The Nachlati Samtim L'Toiva. Toiva is a very, very strong word that the Torah reserves for certain choice situations. Toiva is like the worst you could think of and then like more. Like worse. You know, like really, they totally decimated my land. Totally, totally abused it. Pasuk Chet.
Which word did you just say?
The end of Pasuk Zayin, Toiva. We were talking last week, Esther, about chiastic structure. Just in this Pasuk, and the last two words, chiastic structure, just to give you, if you look at me for a minute, this is the Greek letter chi. It looks like an X. And the chiastic structure is an ABBA structure. Like, I always use the example of Old King Cole, right? Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. Got it?
Yeah.
That's like example of chiastic structure, an ABBA, Old King Cole, merry old soul, merry old soul, he. It could be ABCBA, but it doesn't have to. There doesn't have to be a C. It could be ABCCBA. It could be all different kinds of. The general structure is the from the Greek letter chi, and the last half of pasuk zayin v'tavo v'titamu et artzi, the nachalati samtam l'toiva. The artzi and the nachalati are the parallel words, and tavo titamu is parallel to toiva. So you can, if you would draw a line, you'll see that you'll come up with the Greek letter. X. Also used as a poetic, I'm like losing all my words here, a poetic device to emphasize a certain point. It brings the point home even stronger. We move over to Pasuk Chet. Hakohanim lo amru ayei Hashem. So now it's not even that in Pasuk Vav where we said that Bnei Yisrael didn't say, the Jewish people, actually more technically accurate would be to say Bnei Yehuda. The Bnei Yehuda didn't say ayei Hashem, but even Pasuk Chet, the Kohanim, who are the Kohanim? What kind of leaders are the Kohanim supposed to be?
The priests.
Right, they're the religious leaders. They're your spiritual guys. Hakohanim lo amru ayei Hashem. Even they didn't. But Tofsea Torah lo yida'uni. If you look at Madak, for Tofsea Torah, the tfos is to grab, to hold. So Madak explains, Tofsea Torah are the Chachamim lomdei Torah. So the Chachamim lo yida'uni. So if somebody learned Torah all day long and not know Hashem, there's something wrong with the way you're learning Torah. Of course you're not going to know Hashem in its entirety. But Torah learning, that's part of why you learn Torah, to connect with Hashem and to know Him and to understand who He is. V'haro'im pash'ubi. His third group of people that he's mentioning are the ro'im, the shepherds, which Radak explains are the kings, the malachim, that they sinned against me. V'hanivim nib'u ba'al. The nivim gave nivuah in the name of the Baal. The Baal was like the chief avodah zarah guy. The Baal. V'acharei lo yo'ilu halachu. The phrase lo yo'ilu is used as a noun. Does that make sense? The worthless, the non-helping, the ineffective. And they followed after the ineffective. So you see they have all of the different leaders here. We have the Kohanim, the Tofsei Torah, the Ro'im, the Nevi'im. And all of them, v'acharei lo yo'ilu halachu. So here, starting in Pasuk Chet, we see a description of how was it that they were metamei the Eretz. Hashem says, I brought you from Eretz Mitzrayim through the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael. You are metamei Eretz Yisrael. How? Now he's explaining that. What was it? You were metamei Eretz Yisrael. And when you have the leaders that are corrupt, or not even, this doesn't even talk about corruption. This is talking about the leaders are doing avodah zarah. The leaders are not seeking out Hashem. What can you expect from the people? Lachain says in Pasuk Chet, Lachain, therefore, because of this, od ariv itchem ne'um Hashem, I will continue to fight with you, says Hashem, ve'et b'nei b'neichem ariv, and even with your children's children I will fight. Here we have sort of ending out, we started with the Avotechem, Mama to Avotechem bi'avel, moving into B'nei B'neichem Ariv. It started all the way back, the Ra'ah. One of the themes that you're going to see going through this parak is that the Ra'ah that was done, Ra'ah mevi Ra'ah, the evil that's done brings bad things to you. So he says, the evil that was done, since the time of the Avot, it's been happening. Not the Avot, but since the time of your ancestors, it's happening, and the Ra'ah is going to continue into the time of B'nei B'neichem. This is a long-term plan we're discussing here.
Okay.
But here you have. There's no tshuva here. Now, one of the
grandchildren, children.
Right. If you're having the leaders of this generation are evil, you know, one of the things that we should discuss, I think, that's important to discuss, is that this nevuah, based on some of the things that he's going to say later, you can place the time period of this nevuah, and it's going to make us question why is he saying this. I'll explain to you as we go on. Okay. Ki irui yi kitiyim uru'u. He says, go to the cities of the kitiyim, the coastal cities of the kiti, the kedar shilchu vidbonenu ma'od, and send emissaries to kedar and look into the story of what's going on there and see. Uru'u. Hein haitakazot? Are they doing this? Rhetorical question. Answer being?
No.
No. Doing what? What's the zot? Hahemir pasuk it up. Hahemir goy Elohim. What does a nation like suddenly switch gods? You know, Shira and I are now going through the hamarat rishayon of our driver's license. We passed our test, yay! You know, but like I know the word of lahamir from there. You know, like. And think of how relatively simple it was for us to switch our driver's license, and there's a modern use of the word lahamir. And like when I read this pasuk after going through the process, and you see hahemir goy Elohim, like, you know, that's what he's talking about. Do they just
swap it.
Right? Just swap gods? The hemalo Elohim and their gods aren't even gods. Like, you have the real deal. Even they don't do this. And look what you're doing. The my nation, Hemir Kvodo below Yo'il. They're switching the Kvodo, Kvod Hashem, for Lo Yo'il, for the ineffective, for the Barot that can't hold the water, which we're not up to that Pasuk yet. We'll be up to it in two more Pasukim, but like, you see the theme that's going through. Look in Pasuk Yod also. You have more chiastic with Re'u Hitbo Nenu Re'u. We have three times also. Of how you're supposed to look into another. Don't just ask somebody. Look into it well. Even if you investigate deeply, you will never find another nation that's doing this. Something like this. We have the Lo Yo'il in Pasuk Yud Aleph that showed up in Pasuk Yud Chet. In Pasuk Chet, you have a lot of the things coming up again. Okay. Pasuk Yud Bet is what I'm up to now. Shomu Shamayim Al Zot. Hashem says, Shamayim, you gotta like work yourself up about this. Make yourself shmama. V'sa'aru charvu ma'od. Like make yourself stormy and destroy it. In other words, this is a really bad thing. Ne'um Hashem. Those are the words that God says, like super exclamation point. That's what it means. Ne'um Hashem, super exclamation point. Why kishtayim ra'ot asa'ami? Two evils my nation did, which we spoke about this at the beginning. Azvu makor mayim chayim, lachtov lahem borot. They left the water source to dig for themselves wells. Borot nishbarim asher lo yachilu hamayim. Broken wells even that won't contain the water. Ha'eved Yisrael im yalid bayit hu. Are B'nai Yisrael a yalid or a yalid, an eved or a yalid bayit? An eved is a slave. Yalid Bayit is the child that was born to the slave in your house. In other words, the answer to this, if you'll flip back to the beginning of the parak, because even though it wasn't in our, it's not in our Haftarah, but it's still in the parak, go back to parak Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Hold your hands here and go back to Pasuk Gimel. which says, Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem Reshit Tvuata, that Bnei Yisrael are Kadosh to Hashem, they're like the first of the Tvua, the first of the wheat. They are like from His, they're the Bechor. You know, in other words, that you see the juxtaposition there, that they're the Bechor, whereas here he's asking the rhetorical question, Pasuk Yudalet, Ha'eved Yisrael Mili Bayitu? Rhetorical question, answer being no. They're not slaves. They're not born from the slaves. In other words, what's this? So therefore then he says, Madua Hayalabaz, why are they being taken for spoils? Here we have a hint to what's going on historically with Bnei Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael are being invaded by some other nation. Bnei Yehuda are being invaded by some other nation, which seems to imply, we're starting here with our understanding this in this historical perspective, that this was sometime after when Ashur already, their powers were getting weaker, and the other nations around saw their opportunity to jump in and have a piece of Eretz Yisrael. So, so here we see that Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, are being taken away as spoils, Madua Hayalavaz, that they're being taken as spoils. In other words, like the son of the household is not viewed as property to be taken as spoils, but the slave might be viewed as property to be taken as spoils. He's saying here, so Bnei Yisrael are not the Eved, why are they taken as spoils? Like, you should be asking yourselves these questions, he says. Pasuk Tedvav, Alav Yish Aguch Virim. About Bnei Yisrael, the lions are roaring. The lions meaning the enemies. They're roaring. Natnu kolam. Again, we have the yishagu, natnu kolam, the same thing twice in a different way. The yoshitu artzo l'shama. He's making artzo, this eretz, the eretz, now the eretz is belonging to Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people, to Bnei Yehuda. Now it's artzo, it's not eretz, it's not artzi, it's artzo. These enemies are making Artso, l'shama, completely and totally desolate. Arav needs to mibli yoshev. The cities are burned down completely, so nobody could live there. That was common practice. That's how we have all these tells around Israel. A tell is where you had a city that was destroyed, completely destroyed by fire, and then the next people came and built the next city on top of that, and then that city was destroyed by fire from an enemy, and then the next people came and built the next city on top of that. And that's how you have these layers of cities that could go to Ir David, and you can go and dig down and see the different layers of city, which, by the way, just is a total off thing. Do you know how they could tell, like, which time period each layer is from? I guess the tour guide runs how they could tell. He asked me if I have Karel dishes. Any of you have Karel dishes? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, and every year the Karel dishes, like, they come out with new models, like new designs. Mm-hmm. He says it's the same thing. They tell it by the style of pottery. That's how they could tell what time period each layer is from. If you can't find coins, you know, if you find a coin that has somebody's name on it that you know about, okay, then that'll tell you what time it's from. But, like, they could tell from the style of pottery. I thought that was really cool. Anyway, like how thick the lip is around and what material it's made from and all this. It's just interesting. Just a side point. Okay. Anyway, so these cities were totally destroyed in Eretz Yisrael. Gam pasuk tzad zayin. Gam b'nei nof v'tach ban ches yiruch karkon. He says, even the people of Nof, which is in Mitzrayim. Sorry. Oh, God, that wasn't full. Okay. Nof is a city in Mitzrayim that is about 25 kilometers south of modern-day Cairo. Tachpanches is a city in northeast Mitzrayim, which is just west of the modern-day Suez Canal. Which means, so when you say Bnei Nof v'Tachpanches, you're talking about all of Mitzrayim from one end to the other. See, Nof is on one end and Tachpanches is on the other hand. Okay, so when you say Gam Bnei Nof v'Tachpanches, even the people of Mitzrayim, your uch kadko, they're going to come smash your skull in. So now we can even more finely pinpoint historically what we're talking about. It's when Ashur is getting weaker, other nations are trying to attack Eretz Yisrael to expand their borders, and Bnei Yisrael are turning to whom for help? To Mitzrayim. Okay? And Hashem is saying, Mitzrayim is going to fight back. And at the end of the day, this isn't going to be good for you. Open again, like we did 2 weeks ago, please, to Melachim Bet, Perek Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chavtet. This is when it happens. We're talking now, we're in the end of the lifetime of Yoshiyahu, the first king during the time period of during which Yirmiyahu was a Navi, Pasuk Chavtet. B'yamav, in the end of Yoshiyahu's days, Ala Paro Necho Melech Mitzrayim Al Melech Ashur Al Nahar Prat, that Melech Mitzrayim was coming through Eretz Yisrael towards Ashur to fight Ashur when they're down. Vayelech HaMelech Yoshiyahu Likrato, Yoshiyahu went to go greet in war, to greet Paro. V'yamitehu B'Megiddo, Paro kills him in Megiddo. Kirototo when he sees him. Pasuklamed Bayar Kivuhu Avadav Mate Mimigido. He is then Yoshiyahu is carried back by his servants dead. Vayeh Yushalayim, they bring to Yushalayim, Vikvaruhu Bikruato, they bury him. Vaykach Am Haaretz et Yehoahaz ben Yoshiyahu, they take his son and make him king. Vayim Shechulato, Vayim Lichotot Tacharabiv. Ben Esrim Shana, Yehoahaz ben Malcho, he's 20 years old. Esrim Shalosh Shana, he's 23. Ushloshach Harashim Alach Yushalayim. Three months he's a ruler. Why? Because in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayasrehu Paro Necho, Berivla, Be'eretz Chamat, Bimloch Be'Yushalayim, Vayitain Onesh Al Ha'aretz Me'ach Kikar Kesef V'Kikar Zahav. Now Paro takes him into captivity, and Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vayamlech Paro Necho Ed El Yakim Ben Yoshiyahu Tachad Yoshiyahu Aviv. Now you see a very strong presence of Mitzrayim, where they appoint the king for the Jewish people, still from the royal family, but they're appointing the king. So you see that. So therefore, we can understand that our nevuah is happening sometime during the time of Yoshiyahu's reign, after Ashur is getting weak enough that people feel they can attack Yerushalayim, but before the Jewish people have felt the full brunt of Mitzrayim, which means we're during Yoshiyahu's reign. So now I have to ask my question: what was the major national event that happened during Yoshiyahu's reign spiritually? You can look at the Navi or whatever. And the massive tshuva movement. He found the Sefer Torah. They found that there were horrible things that were going to happen to the Jewish people. And so he starts this like national super Esh HaTorah Or Sameach, you know, situation where total tshuva movement, national Pesach that they haven't had in so many years, right? And here Yirmiyahu is coming to them and saying to them, Mamatu avotechem bi'avel, Azvu et Hashem, what's going on? How do you reconcile that? How do you put it into its historical context?
I mean, they're already in the midst of this teshuva movement.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. When this
remember Yirmiyahu started in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu's reign. Mm-hmm. By that time, the teshuva was already well underway. Or it was starting at least. Yeah. It was starting, definitely. It was 5 years in. So, you know, like it doesn't jive with what the Navi is telling us about what happened during Yoshiyahu's time. So let's look in the Psukim. He does give us a little hint later on to what's going on. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Halo zot ta'aselach. Halo zot ta'aselach. Is this what should happen to you? As veichet Hashem alokayich beit molichich badarach. You left Hashem when He was leading you on the way. Pasuk yichet v'ata malach l'derech Mitzrayim l'shtot me shichor. Why are you going towards Mitzrayim to drink the waters of the waters of the shichor? The shichor is the eastern arm of the Nilus. So why are you going to Mitzrayim? Why are you turning to them for help? In other words, it's just going to turn back and slap you in the face after. Yeah. Meshichor, yeah.
It's like black water.
It could be also, yeah. It's a play on words, yeah, definitely. Umalach l'derech Ashur l'shtot me nahar. Why are you going to Ashur to drink the waters of the Euphrates, of the Nahar Prat? Like, in other words, why are you turning to everybody else for help? Except for me. Pasuk yutet tiyasrech v'atech. Your evil will will punish you. Like all the bad that you have done will cause punishment for you. Udu'i uri'i ki ra v'mar. Know that it's not only ra, it's also mar. As ve'chet Hashem alokayach. You're leaving of Hashem. Mm. He's adding insult to injury here. It's not only ra, it's mar. The ra that you did, though, is going to bring the ra'at, he says. Why did all of this happen? V'lo pachtati elayach. Because my pachad was not on you. You should have had a pachad of me. And you didn't have it. Ne'um Hashem Elokim Tzevakot. Super triple exclamation point. Three names of Hashem are presented here in this pasuk. At the end of this pasuk, the signature, Ne'um Hashem Elokim Tzevakot. In other words, this is who you had to fear, Hashem Elokim Tzevakot. And you didn't. Totally felt nothing about it.
Is it Ne'um Hashem Elokim Tzevakot? Is that like symbolizing the end of a speech, or the end of a statement, or a closing unit?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah. Right, so says God. Right. Sometimes it could be like in the middle of an idea, but like for super emphasis.
It should be separated also.
Right. Right. Understand that this is important. Ki me'olam shibarti ulech. This pasuk is hard to read because you have a kriuch tivin here. That can go interestingly in different ways. Okay, so ki me'olam shibarti ulech, I broke forever, always, a long time ago. Me'olam means a long time ago. This is not a new thing. Again, we started off with mama tu avotechem bi'avel. Shibarti ulech, nitakti mosrotayech. I broke your yoke and I cut your bonds. In the Da'at Mikra, they understand this as Shibart Ulech, Nitakt Mosotayah. You broke your bonds. But that's not what the Pasuk is, you know, but that's not what it says in here. But Malbim, do any of you have Malbim in your. Because I would have photocopied it if I realized, like, I realized just as I walked in that maybe you don't have. Okay, I'll read it with you. Pasuk Chaf Amalvim. Ki me'olam shibarti ulech. Ritzono lamar, he said. Ki avodatia kasha mishnei panim. It's hard on two sides. Im itzadim is like you were saying that the avodat Hashem is hard for two ways. Im itzadim is vada say shi yaba ma'asim kvedim al haguf ka'ol kaved. On the one hand, you could say that they're hard to do the mitzvot asay. It's like a heavy burden on your body. Or you can also say like the lo taseis are too many. This is like an axe that they put a heavy yoke on him for the work. And they also make sure that he can't see where he's, you know, they put like those side blinders on, like they don't only put the yoke on him, but they also limit his movement. He says, but the mitzvot haTorah are easy on both of those accounts. He named me'olam shibarti ulech. He says, ki azara b'hamasim she'asu ovdei Elohei nechar b'dor ha'hu haya avel kaved. I broke your bonds. In other words, I made you not have to do the avodah zarah. I gave you an opportunity, a freeing opportunity to do the mitzvot. Ki gam et b'neihem v'b'noteihem yisrafu b'eish l'Eloheihem. Why is it hard to do avodah zarah? Because they're going to take your kids and they're going to burn them. That's part of the avodah zarah. Is they're going to sacrifice your children. So I freed you from that. I broke this yoke from you.
You're saying the
ol
is the
ol of Avodah Zarah. Isn't that interesting?
It's
totally. Isn't that so cool? Uvein mitzad ha'azharot nitakti mosotayach. And even from the side of the lotus, I also ki azharot shehayu mesharim ovdei ha'aliyah hayu kashim yoter. The prohibitions of the Avodah Zarah were harder than my prohibitions, he says. You want to debate if Catholicism is Avodah Zarah, maybe, but celibacy, you know, for the priest, that's harder than anything that Hashem would put on us. So he says, "Vanochi natakti mosrot elam elayach." Isn't that? I thought that was like a really cool approach on this. That I broke for you the yoke of the avodah zarah. So that told me. And what did you say? Lo evod. Either I'm not going to do avodah Hashem, or lo evor. I'm not passing over to do avodah Hashem. Why? Ki al kogi. Because what do I see? That's a quote, sorry. Lo avor is a quote. You can put quotation marks around it. I forgot to put the quotes there. How do I know that you don't want to do my mitzvot? Ki al kol givagavo havetachat kol etz ra'anan. On every high hill and under every fertile tree, at tzo'ah zona, you are a bowing down prostitute.
Where are you at?
I'm in Pasuk Chaf, the end of Pasuk Chaf, at Tzo'ah Zona. And now we're starting in our parah, we start a situation where Hashem calls the Jewish people certain names. Certain, he gives them titles to indicate the kind of behavior they've been doing. You unfaithful, you. Va'anochi, he says, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Anochi netaticha sorek. When I planted you, I planted, he's using now a mashal of a vineyard of grapes. I planted the choicest grapes. Here we refer truly to the Avot, to the Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Anochi netaticha sorek, I planted you perfectly. Kulo zera emet, the finest, purest seeds. Ve'ech nehafachtli, so how did you turn on me, suvei hagefet nochriya, you stinky, bad grapes? Here we have our second title that he's giving us, suvei hagefet nochriya. Not only are we making the bad choice, that we're not choosing Hashem, the Makor Mayim Chayim, but naturally we were pre-programmed to serve Hashem, and we're breaking that nature, he says. Ki im tichabsi baneter, v'tarbilach bori, no matter how much you wash yourself, im tichabsi, if you wash yourself like kvisa, like laundry, baneter, neter comes from, is related to the word nitran, which is sodium, a kind of salt that was used for rubbing on stains. The tarbilach borit, and you use a lot of soap. Borit is a soap that comes from plants, the plant source. Even no matter how much you wash yourself, nechtam avonech lefanai, ne'um Hashem Elokim. Your sins are staying on me like a ketem. They're staying there like a ketem. You know, Lady Macbeth, no matter how much she washed her hands, out, damn such, she couldn't get it off her hands, right? He says, no matter how much you wash it, I can't, you won't get it off. It's still going to be there. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Here, this gives us a hint as to why Yirmiyahu is giving such tolkacha in the middle of a major tshuva movement. Shows in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ech tomri, he says, how could you say, lo nitmeti, I didn't do anything wrong. Acharei ha-be'alim lo halachti, I didn't do a avodah zarah. He says, re'i darkech bagai, look at your path in the valley. You can look at it a lot. Most of the Parshanim refers to this as the valley on the way to the Giv'ah, on the way to the hills where your Avodah Zarah is. In other words, your footprints are there. Chazal says that this is referring to Gei Ben Hinnom, which is on the southwestern valley around the Ir Ha'atika. That's Gei Ben Hinnom. That was a place that was known for the Molech, that they brought children there for sacrifices as a kind of Avodah Zarah. There's Ra'i Darkech Bagai. I see your footprints. I see your broken path that you left. You know, I see your signs are there. How can you say I didn't do it? De'ima Asit. No, you have to know what you did. I think from here, I'm getting the understanding, the feeling, that Yirmiyahu, while maybe the whole Tshuva movement is like a nice idea, he doesn't see it as long-lasting. He sees it as very superficial. You're telling me I'm doing tshuva, but I see with your feet, with your footprints, that you're not. And now starts some real strong name-calling, I guess you can call it. Bichra kala misarechet rachaha. He calls the Jewish people an easy camel who twists her path, who tries to go as fast as she can. She trips on her way. All her only entire goal is to pair up with as many males as she could. That's this bichra kala misarecha tracha. And then he calls them a perelimud midbar, a wild donkey who's untamable. Ba'avat nafshash afaruach, in her strong desire, her unrestrainable desire, this is, we're talking about animal, bestial desire. She's breathing in very deeply to smell the pheromones of her male counterpart so she can hook up with as many as she could. Ta'anata mi'ashivena, labriut. Who's going to answer her cries? Kol mevakshaha lo yi'afu. Anyone who's trying to find her will not be tired. In other words, they won't tire out because she'll find them first. You don't have to find her. She'll come find you. Bechadchayim sanuha, and her time, in the time in that chodesh, in that time in that mating season, she will find them. You see, this is a very raw image, very harsh, strong, raw. Before we had the hint at the end of the, at the end of Pasuk, where was my... Mm-hmm. At the end of Pasuk Chaf, we had Atzoa Zonah. We started seeing this unfaithfulness concept using the word Zonah. And now in Pesukim, in the end of Pasuk Chaf Gimel and Pasuk Chaf Dalet, it's so strong. And it's not just an unfaithful woman. It's talking, I mean, the image that's being brought are these insatiable, animalistic, bestial, I mean, the para, the wild donkey and the young camel. And it's like so... so raw. Pasuk hapeh, mi'i raglech mi'acheif. He's now talking to the Jewish people. He says, stop wearing out your feet. Stop, mi'i, prevent your feet from going barefoot. Meaning, talking about when you go on a long trip and you're wearing your shoes and you're walking a far way and the shoes kind of get all worn out and you end up walking barefoot. He says, there's no need for that. Ugronich mitziman. Your throat doesn't have to be thirsty from rationing water. You don't have to go far to find salvation. I'm telling you, you don't have to go far. But what do you say to me? But Tomri no ash. You say, stop it, leave me alone. Lo. Ki ahavti zavim v'achareihem eilech. I like other things. And I'm going to go after them. Other things, other nations, other cultures, other gods. So Hashem says, this is what you're telling me, Pasuk Chaflav, Kevoshet Ganav Ki Matzei Kein Hovishu Be Yisrael. Like the shame of a robber when he's caught, so is the shame of the Jewish people. Or if you look in Radak, in Pasuk Chaflav, what Radak says, Kein Hovishu, Perush Hayalahem Lahovi, she said, they should have been embarrassed, but they weren't. They should have felt shame, but they weren't shamed. I was reading this, and like Bernie Madoff just popped in my head. You know, Bernie Madoff was a respectable person. What was the, when everything was uncovered, that he was stealing so much money from all these people? The thought that went into everybody's head was, he should be ashamed of himself. Do you say that of a lowly mugger, that he should be ashamed of himself? You don't usually. You say it on a person who's a respectable, who looks by all intents and purposes to be a respectable person. Right. And it's only when they're caught out that they feel ashamed. You should feel ashamed of yourself. I expected more from you because you looked like you were in a crook. Mm. You know, so he says, Kevoshet Ganav Kimatse, like the shame of a caught robber who was caught. Kein Hovishu B'nei Yisrael, that's how they should feel. Hema, them, Malchehem, Sarehem, Kohanehem, Nevi'ehem. Remember back in the beginning, we had the list of all the leaders? Their leaders should be ashamed. Omrim La'etz, these last two psukim are so powerful. Omrim La'etz, Aviata, they say to a tree, you're my father. Ula Evan, At Yelidatani, they say to a stone, you're my mother. You gave birth to me. And what do they do to me? To Hashem, who's really the Av and the Aim, Ki panu elai oref velo panim. Turn the back of your neck to me, not your face. Turn your back on me. Uve'et ra'atam. But when things go bad, what do you say? Yomru. Kuma v'hoshienu. They turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, save us. And what's Hashem's response in Pasuk Chafet? V'aye Elohecha asher atzitzalach. Where are the gods you made? You made gods for this. Call them out. Yakumu. Let them get up. Im yoshi'ucha be'it ra'atecha. Let them save you at your time of difficulty. Kimispar arecha hayu Elohecha Yehuda. You have as many gods as cities. It's like so, I get like a chill in the back, you know, it's like so, push the knife in, twist it. Not that we don't deserve it, clearly.
Is this not what I dig at the Tshuva movement?
No, yes.
That now when times are bad and the other nations are invading you, this is when you're thinking it, and
right.
Beforehand you have all these
right. He clearly does not think that this is a real, deep, lasting Tshuva. Right, that it's coming from outside pressures. You know, Ashur is getting weaker, other people are attacking you, so, yeah. He's,
It's not sincerity.
Yeah. Which is shameful, because when you read the Tzuchim, they're so, like, in Malachim, about the Teshuva movement with Yoshiyahu, it's so inspiring and, like, exciting. You get all excited, and then you see, right afterwards, the whole, it just goes all downhill from there. And Yirmiyahu sort of gives you a little spin on it to understand how is it possible that after this last-ditch tshuva effort, they still had such a terrible destruction. So next time, for next week, you don't need your Yirmiyahu anymore, but you do need still your Tanakh, and if you have a Mikra Gedolot Eicha, that would be helpful.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
A why question?
Uh-huh. I don't know if I can answer it, but yeah.
Just if you have any ideas. Why do you think this happened, that they were doing these things, that Hashem planted wonderful grapes, and he gave us the chance to, and all of the kelim to be wonderful people. Why is it that the nation couldn't and wanted to be, what was attractive for them in the desire?
Right. So it's interesting because Chazal tell us that the rabbis davened to Hashem to erase the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, and Hashem listened. So then they davened to Hashem to erase the Yetzer Hara for Gilui Ariot. And Hashem listened, but then no chickens were laying eggs, which is a little bit of a problem, so they davened to Hashem to bring it back. So he brought it back. But like, the Avodah Zarah is something that's very hard for us to understand, because like, I think that that's the point of that Midrash, saying that they davened to Hashem to remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, that it's something that we can't understand. Like, how could they do this? Like, it's so obviously fake, and it's so obviously not real. But we could see in our own lives, I mean, that there are definitely parallels to it. And they're saying, lo ni tmeiti, they're saying, I'm fine. But what's going on in their minds and behind closed doors, I think that's something that happens always, that's happening now too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and Malcolm talked about how easy it is to do the mitzvot. It's easy to do the mitzvot if everybody around you is doing mitzvot in the same way, in the right way. But if they're not, it's not as easy. But Hashem made us like this, like the Yetzer Hara. Like, the strength, our strength comes from fighting it. It's not a one, to me, it's like amazing when we fight the Yetzer Hara, more than a wonder when we don't. I don't know if it's an answer.
But doesn't Avodah also intertwine with Yerayim? Like, a lot of Avodah Zarah
is sure.
Very much.
Right.
So the Yetzer Hara is the
if it's still there, right. Right. But we can understand with having a Yetzer for something that could bring you away from Torah. Or even that we rationalize that it's not bringing us away from Torah. you know, they're rationalizing here. Lo mitzmeiti, they said. Acharei ha'be'alim lo halachti. And that's not what you think. You know, it's. I think it's very relevant and very real.
That's what modern culture is like. Like I'm speaking here, like us, you know, as modern Jews,
right?
Like our modern, you know, America, where we come from, our, you know, secular culture, and being integrated with that. But what's the big deal, you know?
Right.
And how far you want to go the line, but.
Right, and everybody draws it differently. That's the kind of life that we've chosen for ourselves, to draw the line ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, whatever,
right.
Where we want to include it.
Right, which makes it harder.
Okay, now it's not okay. This is a kosher movie. That's not like
right.
Where you draw the line. That's just the culture is fine. It's just I should relax all the end of the day. Like,
right.
Where you say it's okay, where you say it's not.
Exactly. Right. House, Grey's Anatomy. Right. You know, yeah,
it's
definitely.
A pull for it. Like, oh, but it's just.
Right, it's there and it's okay and I'm strong and I'm, you know, right. There is. And I'm human. What do you expect from me? Right. None of us are living in Ne'er Sha'arim. We chose not to.
Well,
you know,
we're
anyway.
Yad Binyamin, which
we are. It is, but there's still a lot of choice here. You know, there's a lot more freedom.
But one of my sons, he said, I will never live in an all-religious neighborhood. It's terrible. You know, close in, we have to be influenced and everything. And he lived a while in Tel Aviv. And, now he moved to a religious... He lives in...
To your children?
Yeah.
Sure,
now.
Awesome,
he loves
different.
It.
Right.
But I remember, you know, when you live, you know, you first get married, we'll never live in any... Because it's, you know, you're closing off and it's... it's
we felt like that too.
We have to influence other people.
Right.
It's closing off, so, you know...